Lord, we are so humbled that you delivered us, that you saved us. You saved us from the penalty of our sin, separation from you forever. You're saving us now from the power of it, so we no longer have to live as slaves to the sin which crushes us. Oh, and our Father, there's coming a day when you will save us even from the presence of sin. We get to live with you forever. On Mother's Day, some here, they can't say Happy Mother's Day to their mom physically. She's not here anymore. She's with you. Some can't hear the words from their child. Happy Mother's Day. They're not here. They're with you. And the hope we have is Jesus, the living hope, the one who conquered the grave, the one who promised that he would come again and receive us to himself so that where he is, there we would be also. As much as everything changes in life, we know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We rest in you this morning and ask that you would speak into our hearts in such a way that we would clearly understand what it is that you're asking of us, and that as your children, we would humbly be obedient to you. We pray these things in the name of your Son, our King and Savior Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. One of the things that I know you notice when you travel or go anywhere where you've been before is how much things change. I'd been up in New Brunswick Bible Institute for a number of years and got there, and there's new buildings, and the face of the campus has changed. And then I saw people. I don't know, I look the same, but they look different. Look like a little bit older, right? And things change. When I was younger, there was a popular song by Todd Rundgren. It's Changes. Maybe you remember Changes. I don't know if you remember that. I won't sing any more of it because I'll ruin your day. But the song said, Changes, turn and face the strain. Pretty soon you're going to get a little older. Now, when I heard that song when I was in college, I didn't believe it. Like it would be pretty soon. I thought it was years and years and years off, and now it's here. He said, time may change me, but I can't trace time. And the whole song was really about change, how things change. And we come to another Mother's Day, and we see that things change. The world shifts all the time, seismically sometimes. During some of our lifetimes, there's been seismic shifts that are stunning, and philosophical shifts, theological shifts, and sociological shifts that are overwhelming. Let me illustrate it this way. How many of you are nurses? We have a lot of nurses. Raise your hand. How many in the medical profession? Okay, good. Now, just to give you an illustration of how things change, these were nurses' duties 100 years ago. You got it? 100 years ago. For those of you who aren't good at math, that's... Yeah, okay, very good, yeah. Okay, just think about this. Daily sweep and mop the floors of your ward, dust the patient's furniture and windowsills. Maintain an even temperature in your ward by bringing in a scuttle of coal for the day's business. Some of you remember the coal furnaces, remember that? Which means if you brought in coal, you had to take out the what? The ashes, that's right. Light is important to observe the patient's condition. Therefore, each day fill kerosene lamps. The nurse's notes are important in aiding a physician. Choose your pens carefully. You may whittle nibs to your individual tastes. Wow. Each nurse on day duty will report every day at 7 a.m. and leave at 8 p.m. Okay? Except on the Sabbath, on which you will be off from 12 noon to 2 p.m. You got that? So you work 7 days. Graduate nurses in good standing with the director of nurses will be given an evening off each week for courting purposes. That's good. Each nurse should lay aside from each payday a goodly sum of her earnings for her benefits during her declining years, so she will not become a burden to anybody. For example, if you earn $40 a month, you should set aside $20. $40 a month. Any nurse who smokes, uses liquor in any form, gets her hair done in a beauty shop, or frequents dance halls, will give the director of nurses a good reason to suspect her worth, intentions, and integrity, and she may be fired. The nurse who performs her labors and serves her patients and doctors faithfully and without fault for a period of 5 years will be given an increase by the hospital administration of 10 cents a day, providing there are no hospital debts that are outstanding on their bill. By the way, some changes are good, aren't they? Yeah, you should thank God for some changes. Now, if you think back, let me do it this way. I'm going to start in the decade I was born, okay, which was 1990. Just kidding. In the 1950s. So in the 1950s, it was a time of peace and prosperity, stability, safety. Kids could walk anywhere to school. You have to worry about that, right? Take off for the day. As a matter of fact, when I was younger, my parents made me go out and play. Get out of the house. I don't want to see you until lunch. If I tried to get back in before lunch, I was kicked out. But it's raining out. Play in the mud. Kind of how it worked, right? Watch Lawrence Welk. A strange musician that arrived on the scene called Elvis. Leave It to Beaver was my favorite television show. In the 1960s, we started out with Beach Blanket Bingo, Annette and Frankie were the big movie stars then. Then we had the Vietnam War. Then we had the Beatles and the Stones, rock and roll, hippies, rebellion, sit-ins, make love, not war. All we're saying is give peace a chance, drugs, discouragement with assassinations, starting out with John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and then, of course, his brother was killed, and Martin Luther King Jr. was killed. Some of you remember that song, "Anyone Here See My Old Friend John? Can You Tell Me Where He's Gone?" He freed a lot of people, but it seems like the good die young. I looked around, and he's gone. Then the 70s showed up. The war ends. Age of idealism suffers. Watergate. Leaders no longer trusted. Drugs on the rise. Sexual revolution in full force. Co-ed dorms on college campuses, at least the one I went to. Free love. Hedonism. Work week shrunk to 40 hours. Taxes rise. Gas crisis in the 70s. International unrest. No longer safe on the streets. Kids now are being bused to school instead of walking. Then the 1980s and the hippies turn into the uppies. Abandon their idealism and existentialism and turn to materialism for fulfillment. Conservative revival happens in the 80s. Financial prosperity, Berlin Wall comes down. Crew cuts come back after the long hair leaves. Mini skirts are now gone, at least in the 80s. National pride is back. Then we get to the 90s. Baby boomers take over. Time of relative peace. Wall Street, greed is good. Capitalism's best days. Financial boom. Portfolios grow. Early retirement on the rise. Sexual mores change. AIDS takes center stage. Then, of course, the 2000s kick off with 9/11, terrorism, fear, nationalism, Iraq, payback, questioning the war, questioning corporate greed, run wild, financial collapse. Now we want to discuss and have conversations. No longer do we want to change the world. We got to accept the way it is. Then we get to the 2010s. World continues to shrink due to technology. Personal isolation. We know more people, but we know less people. Social media replaces personal touch. Tolerance shifts from being willing to differ with grace to now being willing to agree with everyone or you're not tolerant. And we produce the most entitled generation ever, expecting someone else to pay all the bills. Things have changed. If I had to put it into a phrase, the 50s generation wanted to enjoy the world, the 60s generation wanted to change the world, the 70s generation wanted to experience the world, the 80s generation wanted to own the world, or free the world, the 90s generation wanted to own the world, the 2000s generation wanted to reframe the world, and the 2010 generation wants to take a selfie with the world. In the middle of all these shifting changes that we have moms, and everything's changed for them. How you mother? Who knows how you're mothering? I mean, everything's changed when it comes to that, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But God's principles never change. So we're going to go to Titus 2. And again, in Titus, this is a shifting world in which Paul was ministering, and things are changing, and it's think, you know, time does not stand still. It changes. And there's a philosophical and theological shift that's taking change, beginning with Paul's ministry, that in 3,000 years later, what Paul is preaching and being criticized for and being imprisoned for, people are going to be imprisoned for denying. So it's, again, a mega shift that is taking place. Cultural expectations change. Technology changes. There may be peace. There may be conflict. But we always need steady moms. And so what we have in Titus is older women are told to do something, right? Now, I'm not going to define older woman because I want to walk out of here safely. But what are older women? Older women likewise would be reverent. Those are the grandmas here. Reverent in behavior. Not slanderers, right? Not slaves. Don't drink too much wine, okay? It says too much here. You know, don't go out and, you know, buy your wine in the box. Maybe you don't use boxes, whatever. And don't do that. Be sober. Be dignified. Give yourself to something, right? You're not, life isn't over yet. If you still have a pulse, you have a role, right? If you still have a pulse, you have a role. What's my role? Glad you asked. It's helping moms. Now, it's more than that. It's broader than that. But obviously, this is something that you want to zero in on. Okay, so here's what you do. Teach what's good. What's kalos, what's morally upright. Well, how do you do that? Well, you train the young woman, and here's some things. You train them to, and you heard it read. There's some things here. There are six things I'm going to point out. One, teach them to have a steady perspective of life. Have a steady perspective of life. Teach what's morally upright. Now, in different translations and different text lines, they have a word sober here. But it's what's vital. Younger woman, how to do family wisely. We all start out a little bit foolish, right? Why? Because you get a kid and it's the real one first. You're not sure how to do it. You need some help. How do I have a steady perspective of life? Because some days I feel like shouting hallelujah. Sometimes I feel like doing something I'd be arrested for. You can't say that out loud in church. Have a biblical perspective of life. Hopes and dreams wrapped up in Jesus. See, if my hopes and dreams are wrapped up in these little packages I get, as wonderful as they are, I will be crushed. Children are wonderful to play with and wonderful to raise. They make horrific gods. Anyone other than Jesus, anyone other than God, Jehovah God, makes a horrible God. So we want to have a perspective. And by the way, here's where it comes in handy. Well, they're young, I'm going to be tired forever. No, you'll only be tired for about 5 or 6 years. Isn't that encouraging? Surveys of young mothers listed their priorities. As they listed them, certain things were near the top of the list. New furniture, new flat screen, new house, maybe first house, bigger house, whatever. When they surveyed the same group of gals 20 years later, relationship was at the top. All about relationships, all about building relationships. It's so easy to get our perspectives out of whack, isn't it? And so they need some help. A godly mom realized investing in the next generation of children is vital, and so you invest in those children by investing in the mother. Secondly, teach them this one. How about this? To love their husbands. The word is used here is interesting. I mean, it's kind of this affectionate, emotional love. Women many times don't have a problem sacrificing with a husband. They just don't feel too good about the guy sometimes. Teach them how to do that. Teach them how to have that philos love for their husband. Cultivate that in the home. Be more concerned about that. Maybe ask God to help me like this guy. I love him, but I don't like him very much. Now, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Wink, wink. I love him. I'm committed to him. I mean, but sometimes he just drives me bazoo. How do I like him? I'm not going to tell you how. I'm just saying, ask an older woman. They know how. The same word is used for children, philos technos now, lover of children. You know, have an emotional love, love them that way. I mean, that's tough. Sometimes it's easy to get lost in the details of life, right? Meeting needs, doing laundry, cleaning, picking up meals, driving. You know, you miss what's going on in their hearts. You miss rejoicing. You're just trying to clean up the mess. You see the mess, right? That's how it goes. Sometimes it's easier for the father to feel good about the children, especially if the mom's a stay-at-home mom. You say, why? Because he gets up in the morning ready for work. He kisses the kids goodbye. They embrace. He leaves. He comes home. They show up. They kiss. They embrace. Aren't my kids wonderful? And the mother's sitting there, yeah, sure, pal. Where were you when they were coloring the wall in the dining room? Where were you when they were carving a picture into the coffee table? Where were you when the middle child was feeding the young child a jar of Vaseline? These are stories about my daughter. Sitting in the oil in the patch in the driveway all the time, spilling grape juice over the new carpet and then deciding to squish it in so no one could see it. Clunking the baby on the head with their doll because they're upset. Deciding to climb up on the counter and eat some medicine because it tasted like candy the last time they had it. And what we found out about child-proof medicine bottles is they're adult-proof medicine bottles. We can't get them open in time of crisis. Kids know how to do it. And then some well-meaning person comes into you when your kid's just stolen candy in a line at Walmart and looks you in the eye and says, enjoy them while they're young. And you're like, what? I mean, you're thinking, and then they'll say this, they grow up so, and you're thinking, not fast enough, pal. This is like crazy. But it's true, they grow up fast, and we need to love them, help them feel secure, keep on loving them, especially when they're in junior high. Sometimes it's easy to view our children as a hindrance, isn't it? Karen Wise has written a there's some books you buy because the title's so good, you just got to have it. And hers is, give me a child till they're two, and you can have them till they're 22. Perfect, right? So I've always prided myself on being organized, very neat, very color-coordinated, very punctual. No wonder the little things blow me up to pieces. I used to feel it was unforgivable to go to bed with a dish in the sink. I would break out in a rash if someone put a pink towel in a blue stack or put a pair of socks in the undershirt pile. My stomach would be in knots if it were time to leave the house and my husband was still putting on his shoes. I lost all composure if one of my kids appeared in a shirt and slacks that didn't match. I still feel that being punctual and organized are admirable, but I know now I selfishly let them get out of hand. My family wasn't really free to live in our house. They seldom made a mess because they knew I didn't like it. I'm sure that sometimes they were the ones with knots in their stomachs just from living with me. Well, I, for one, don't plan to live like that anymore. And my family isn't going to bunk with an irritable prune either. I've asked the Lord to give me the ability to make issues only of the important, to reprimand only when necessary, to deal with problems in a firm but loving voice, and to view the insignificant as just that. More importantly, I pray daily I will display more happiness than irritation, more appreciation than disapproval. After all, that's the way I want to be treated. Good perspective. The other thing you do is teach them how to, and this is really interesting, teach them how to have a steady control of themselves. Right? Steady control of themselves. Ooh. How do you do that? Well, self-control. Look at Texas. They be husband, love their child, and be self-controlled. This is a fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. And so if there's ever a role in life you need this, it's being a mom, right? Right? It's a safe place. Well, why? Because you got to say the same thing. You got to give the same directions a million times an hour, right? Or the same word. No, 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 no. Stop, stop, stop. No, stop, stop. Put that down, put that down, put that down. And then you wonder, am I sane anymore? Yes, you are. Just put an "in" in front of it and you got it together. Yeah, and so we need to have self-control. It comes in handy when you're in the midst of frustration. You need to discipline. Again, it's a fruit of the Spirit. So I'm submitting to God and say, God, I need you to give me this capacity to handle my emotions because that's what your Spirit will do. I'm submitting to you to work in my life. Listening to my kids. Talking to them. So they can understand. Being self-controlled. I like this, a steady walk with God. I would talk about being pure, right? Being spiritually pure in your life, being chaste, I think some translation says. This is what it says in 1 John 3, whoever hopes in him purifies himself just as they or as he is pure. So it's that purity, it's being holy, being godly. It's used in Ephesians 5 where it talks about Jesus presenting to the church before the Father as a pure virgin. Learning holiness. Be careful what you're reading. Be careful what you're watching. Be careful how you're modeling. Both parents. We'll talk about that with dads later in June. But that's very, very important. So we teach them to have a steady walk with God. What does that look like? Now, what does it look like in this culture? That means the older woman might have to do some study. It's different in this culture, right? It's a little bit different. The challenges are a little bit different. And so what you're going to do is you're going to encourage them, right? And how in the world do I be pure? And then the last thing is a steady view of priorities. And there are a number of them here. I'll put them into three categories. It's how your priorities, and I think they're all relational, in your home, again with your husband, and with your community. In your home, with your husband, and in your community. The first one is with your home. It'd be a worker at home. It means to be active in the home. I read, it's kind of this, I think workers at home, some translations will use it. If I would say anything, it's an older woman teaching a young woman how to do home. Put it this way, how to do family. How do you do family? How do you do that? I want to be godly, I want to be a good wife, but I want to do family well. Now again, older woman, it's easy for you to complain about the young woman. Oh, it's so easy, you know, it's so tough when I used to, you know, women have it so easy now. I used to, you ever hear that? And the young woman's, come on, give me a break. Maybe you did have it hard, okay, but it's not easy today. You know what, you realize over 75% of homes, both parents are working now. If you think it's easy to go to work and come home and do everything you're supposed to do, you're crazy. It's not easy. 80% of household duties, when both are working, are done by the mom. You got that? 80% of the household duties, when they're both working, is still done by the mom. Interesting. It used to be that neighbors helped you parent. Remember those days? Some of you older? Hey, I'm going to the store, watch my kids. So they sit and they didn't really watch, but they stayed in the porch and they watched the kids. They were playing unsupervised, but the neighbor was watching. If you did that today, you'd be arrested. Why? They could do that. You didn't have to worry about someone coming by and taking them off in a car. Things were different. Now, listen to this. This is really interesting. 57% of grandparents live at least 5 hours away in a car drive from their kids, or from their grandkids. 5 hours. Which means when you used to have grandma come over and take care of the kids, you could drop them off there. You're not going to drive 5 hours. Well, I shouldn't say that. Jenny's done that a number of times. Driven 10 hours, dropped the kids off and taken off. Okay, that's not a good illustration. But anyway, you know what I mean. You can't do that every day, right? And so that's a different challenge. Social media. Someone said recently, may I get on social media, share what my family's doing, I have mom shaming. I don't want to be simplistic, but here's an idea. Then stay off. It's hard to shame you if you're not looking, right? I can't read their negative comments if I'm not reading them. At least they can't affect me. It's interesting. I read a study this week that moms who post more, moms who are parenting, who post more, are 75% chance they'll be more depressed. So if you're really happy, just post and you'll be miserable. Anyway, don't know how that works. And there are more single moms than ever. So there are more moms that are working, dropping their kids off, and then picking them back up and trying to manage time to get their child or their children to the husband to see them because they know they should, but then there's part of them that doesn't want to, and they're trying to navigate that. It's difficult. These are challenges a lot of you didn't have. And so sure, things were harder in some ways then. And I think it's easier for the younger to look at the older and think, oh, you're so out of date, you don't have a clue, you know. It was, you know. But we need to show great respect, and in our church I think we do, and that's wonderful. But a steady view of how to do home, how do you do it? And again, so how do you figure that out in this culture? How do you figure out how to do it in this weird world in which we're living? Look what else it says here. This is interesting. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I think it's important because this is a big cultural thing. You want to teach them to be kind, right? Listen, for those of you who are detail-oriented, some of you are kind of type A detail-oriented, this is a hard one, right? Because you want something to get done. And you will kind of violate your kid's feelings or anyone's feelings around you as long as it gets done, right? You want to be kind. Doesn't mean you shouldn't want to get things done, but you want to be kind. At the end of the day, they're going to remember the kindness. They're not going to remember that the vacuuming was done. I ever met a family, what was your family like? Well, I can tell you what, our living room rug was clean. I'll never forget that. That's not going to make a lasting impact, okay? My mom was always kind. That'll make a lasting impact. Right. How about this one? I didn't come on Mother's Day to hear the S word. Right? I don't want to hear the S word in church on Sunday when I'm trying to celebrate submissive. Right? What do you have to bring that up for? Well, it's because in the text kind of is there. Right? Submissive to, by what? By the way, if you're dating and your boyfriend says you need to learn how to be submissive to him, tell him, take dot A dot hike dot. Because if he's pulling that card out now, when you get married, you're going to get ugly. Okay? Doesn't say you submit to your boyfriend, you submit to whom? Your own husband. Why? Because he's loving me like Christ loves the church, of course. Right? As a matter of fact, keep your finger here. Go back to Ephesians. I was thinking about this the other day. Because this is ridiculed by our culture, and I understand why, because men can take advantage, and men can, you know, rule down on women, and men can dominate women, and they have, we can't argue that, they have. Scripture has been abused for the benefit of men. I'm not going to argue that. It has. But think of it. The culture says, well, this is demeaning the woman. So this text kind of drives men to take advantage of women. Okay, let's switch it. Let's say that God would have given the rules for the husband to the wife. Said, wives, love your husband like you love your own bodies. Put them always before yourself in your life. As a matter of fact, sacrifice everything you are for them. Oh, you know what they'd say? Oh, if you ever teach that to a woman, man, they're gonna get taken advantage of. The husband's gonna say, you need to sacrifice everything for me. Why aren't you doing that? Yeah, that's right. It's not like it's... if you want to help your wife lovingly respond to you, it would be helpful if you love your wife like Christ loves the church. If you love her sacrificially. If you put her needs above your needs. As a matter of fact, it would also make your life more pleasing to Jesus, because that's what he asked you to do. And the role that you have in this is Jesus, right? Because you are exhibiting him in your home. That's how we live. So lovingly respond to your husband. You say, here's the rub. What if he's a turkey? Well, we'll pray for you. You do it anyway, right? He's a turkey. That's the way it is. Okay, let me move on. Let me give some solid outcomes. We've had this shifting world and a steady mom. There's three outcomes that you have in your outline. There's more could be said, but I want to be done on time. Really want to honor moms by being done on time. That's important. Number one, if this happens and we teach and we respond and we're godly and we live the life. And by the way, the testimony thing there is that we're exhibiting what a godly home looks like to the world. Because everyone wants to live in a home that has peace. And everyone wants to live in a home where there's love. Everyone wants to live in a home where there's kindness. Everyone wants to live there. So if you want to exhibit Christ, that's a great place to start. If you want to testify to the world, it might be better to do it in a home than stand on the street corner with a placard. Because in the text, it surely seems to at least hint to that when it talks about the result of that and how we should live, because we don't want the Word of God to be, I think the King James says blasphemed even, doesn't it? Revile. And you've heard it before. Hey, wait a minute, wait. You're a Christian? You go, yeah, well, I know so-and-so and I know their family and they say they're Christians. Whoa. Right. Okay, three things. Three solid outcomes. Number one, her children be secure. We all want to raise secure children, right? Yeah. Her children be secure. They'll be secure. They won't end up being insecure, right? When you see a secure person, chances are high that they were raised in a solid home, okay? Or they've been saved and they've learned to lead into Jesus well. But they're secure, a better chance they'll be secure if they've been loved in a good home. Secondly, her husband will be blessed. I'm a blessed man because of Ruth, I'll be honest with you. Like most of you, guys, look at me. Like most of you, right, especially you, Brian, I married way up. Most of you married up, didn't you? That's not loud enough. If your wife's in a row and that was the best you could do, you're the turkey. Some of you outpunted your coverage by 50 yards. Married up. I praise God for that. My wife raised my children, loved my children, loved me, put up with me, put up with me. You say, is that a big deal? If you know me, that's a ginormous deal. Her husband would be blessed. You see that in Proverbs 31. We'll see it in a second. And then her legacy will be lasting. Her legacy will be lasting. I could kind of give you a plethora of quotes from, you know, world leaders and the difference in their mom and what difference their mom made. I do find it interesting, by the way, when the athlete has just scored a touchdown, or he's just made the putt, or he's just done something, and the camera comes on him, he usually says, "Hi, Mom." Now, that always kind of bugged me, to be honest with you. Mom was out in the backyard playing catch with the kid. Mom didn't teach him how to keep his elbow up when he batted. I mean, "Hi, Mom." Yeah. Why? Relational. Relational. My mother's love for me wasn't based on my batting average. Wasn't based on my golf score. Wasn't based on my GPA most of the time. He loved me. See, that's the security, right? That's Mom. That's a Mom. And that legacy is lasting because the child recognizes that. Proverbs 31, you know this. And people say, "Well, hey, Proverbs 31, you know, such a trite verse." Blah, blah, blah. Listen, get a better attitude about Scripture. There's a godly woman. By the way, this godly woman has a job. She's enterprising. She buys and sells and helps out the family financially. She has her priorities straight, and the result of the way she lives, Proverbs 31, you see it. I think I have it at the end of your outline. Her children rise up and call her what? Blessed. You know what that means? The blessed woman is Is that how your kids describe you? Oh, my mom, she's just, settled. Describe your mom. Oh, my mom, that's not the blessed woman, okay? My mom's like, some of you are looking at your kids right now. Don't you dare be honest. At least tomorrow you can be. It's Mother's Day. Be nice. Rest, right? I'm blessed. They're called blessed. Her husband also, he prays her. He prays, talks about his wife. And let me say it different. He talks up his wife. Some guys talk about their wife. He talks up his wife. Yeah, praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain, although we do like looking at it. But a woman that fears the Lord, she'll be praised. That's the one we talk about. Listen, some of you here know about Susanna Wesley, a certain woman you know in the past, and we've studied many women in Scripture. And were they cute? Right? I mean, a woman that you think, "Oh, they're a really cute one," you don't think about that. And she was blonde. Right? No. They're godly. Character issues, right? That's what we talk about. Character. Character lasts. Beauty is fading. Some of the dudes is fading fast for us, right? Why? Well, because we can't wear makeup. It's just horrible. Anyway, fast. Now, we live in a shifting world. Everything's changing. The world changes. The principles stay the same, but how you do mothering in this world, you got to shift, you got to change, understand how to apply principles to this world. The outcomes won't change. But if I think about moms and their lasting impact, there's one thing that reminds me, one thing drives me all the time to this verse. Because again, if I talk to you about your moms and you interview and you talk about having a good home, the same themes will come up continually. Same themes will come up continually. See, there's some things that never change. Love will come up. That never changes. Grace will come up and mercy will come up. That never changes. That reminds me of someone. Reminds me of Jesus, who's the same yesterday and today and forever. We sing the song, "Praise the Lord, He never changes." He loves us with an everlasting love. His grace will always be sufficient for us. His mercy will always be enough to withhold wrath. We can always come to Him and be accepted in the Beloved because of what He's done for us. Jesus will always be enough for you. He doesn't lack in anything. And so, if you're a mom and you say, well, I got to get better at this, listen, your resource better be Jesus, because you're going to run out. It's just the way it goes. You're going to run out. You'll run out of patience. You'll run out of grace. You'll run out of mercy. You'll probably even run out of love. But He doesn't. So you run to Him. And maybe you don't know Him and you're just here celebrating someone else's, you know, Mother's Day, and we're glad you did that, but you need to run to Him too. As good as your mom was, there's no one better than Jesus. And as good as your mom was, she can't save you. Good as your mom was, she didn't die for your sin. Good as your mom was, she can't take you to heaven. Good as your mom was, she can't wash you from your guilt. That's what Jesus did. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much. As we think about moms, there's so many characteristics that we think of Your character qualities, and they're bound up in many of our moms. Steadfast, loving, kind, merciful, gracious. And Lord, we know that's You. You're a steadfast God. Because You're steadfast, You promise to love us until the end. But because You're steadfast, You always also promise that Your judgments are coming. The soul that sins will die. We know that's why You sent Your Son Jesus. Because sin must be judged. Sin is a violation of Your holy law. People willfully sin. You could have left it like that and all would be condemned and separated forever, but You didn't. You extended Your love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus, God in the flesh, leaving heaven's glory, coming to a sin-cursed earth, being crushed for sin by sinners for them. Wow. And rising again from the grave to give life to those who don't deserve it. And it may be this morning there are some here that are just operating in the realm of naturalism and figuring just kind of die and go on. When we know the reality, the truth is, whether it's comfortable or not, the truth is that there's a heaven to gain or a hell to shun. That's it. We either die to go to be with You forever, or we die and we go to damnation. Nothing in between. And You sent Your Son. Though He was rich, for our sakes He became poor. You made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, in order that we might become the righteous of God in Him. Maybe there's some that need to step over the line and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm accountable for my sin. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for sin, rose again, ascended to heaven. I'm coming to You through Him. I trust in the truth of the gospel. For those who know and love You, Lord, this isn't an old message. This is a fresh message every time we hear it. That we can run to You and that You are the forgiver of sins. You are the lover of our soul. You are the show of mercy, the show of grace. You continually pour that out on us. May we revel in it. May we rest in it. And may we proclaim it by how we live. And this morning, thank You for moms. Thank You for those who sacrifice, those who love unconditionally, those who give and give and give and look for nothing in return. They're a great example to us of how to live. They're a great example to us of You. Thank You for these special people. May they be honored today. May they be encouraged as they follow You. We pray these things in the name of Jesus.